CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Yes, good morning. What's happening? How was the weekend?
Sure.
What a great day yesterday. Woke up late. Had multiple swims. Got some sun. Just loved yesterday. I love summer. Oh, man, it's the best time of the year. Isn't it great?
Incredible.
Hey, how was your birthday weekend?
Gareth, it was, sure, I don't know, like maybe the best birthday weekend.
Best ever?
Yeah, it was so good.
Hashtag best ever weekend.
Yeah, it was great. Did a bit of work on Friday after the show, then flew down to Cape Town, and I had a wonderful week here with my girlfriend.
Very nice.
It was lovely.
All right. Mubs, you have any fun?
No.
No?
I don't want to be the bearer of bad news.
Uh-oh. What happened?
No, just some stuff at home that went to shit. And,
oh, no.
Yeah.
So. What, like plans that were meant to happen?
No.
Shit is full?
I just had some domestic issues that I had to deal with.
No, all right. But what didn't involve violence, did it?
No.
Okay, sure. Well, that's a good thing. Hey, Flax, how was your weekend? Now you can come in here, use this microphone. You have to rush to your microphone. It's like Pavlov's dog here. He wants to run to his microphone. You're allowed to talk.
Not the worst weekends. I've had better. Uh-huh. I started getting flu luck on Saturday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I'm trying to kick that.
Go away from here.
And then Friday night, I was at gym, and then I like pulled something in the back of my leg. But like, it's the first injury I've ever had in my entire life. One that I need to go for physio. I've never been for physio in my entire life. But I can actually feel every time I walk like something is pulling there. So maybe it's a hamstring. Maybe who knows what it is.
You must go see my guy. He's pretty good. He's unorthodox, but I reckon he'll sort you out.
What makes him unorthodox?
Well,
he sounds like a dodgy person.
He gives you a hand job. Ben told us last time, remember?
Doesn't give you a hand job. He's a big burly man, and he'll just give you a full body. Whether your shoulder's sore or your ankle's sore, you'll get the same treatment.
Dang, man.
But he basically works everything. Everything is in unison in the body, and he'll sort you out in 35 minutes of hardcore manipulation.
At the moment, I'm trying like deep heat patches, we'll see how that goes.
Michael, you got to go to my guy, Derek. He's the best.
Yeah, Flax, don't do that thing where you think you're going to solve the problem yourself instead of seeking professional help, and you end up worse.
I'm a firm believer that the body fixes itself.
Well, then you're an idiot. It does not, Michael. Trust me, after all these years, it does not.
Also, Flax, you don't have certain qualifications that other people do who can help you.
Yeah, they've spent their lives researching stuff. You're not going to, with a Google search, be able to do better.
Yeah, I'll give it a day or two and then I'll go.
Go and sort it out.
Michael, the thing is, if you've got like a bit of a cough or whatever, then you can have some vitamin C, rest a bit. But when your muscles actually has a problem with it, it needs to be worked out. So you need actual hands-on, my guy, Derek. Seriously, it's so easy. You can go on the way home.
I've made it 24 years without going for physio. I think I can make it two more days.
Okay, Flex. What's that going to solve? Forget it.
Yeah, you do you, Flex.
All right.
And enjoy your pain.
All right.
Good luck with your gangster limp.
Pimp limp. Hey, has anybody checked out the toilet this morning?
No.
Anybody?
Gareth, the first rule of Studio Club here, don't go to the toilet on Monday.
Is this still an issue?
Oh, you joking.
But Bali, what happens is you wait until the second canary dies and then the cleaning staff come in and then you contemplate.
Cleaning staff, the guys in the hazmat suits come first. You don't want Jane to be the one exposed to the dangerous radiation.
Well, often the police arrive first because it's a crime scene to start with.
But what? I don't understand.
Well, either do we.
Why is there such a big difference between the men and the men's toilet and the woman's toilet?
Because men are disgusting. There's nothing nice about us. Basically, everything about men below the tits needs to just be forgotten. It's the end of humanity. Our disgusting, hairy bodies, our assholes, our balls. There's just nothing good going on with me. We're just disgusting. And when we go to the bathroom, we behave like baboons. There's no way to put it. I mean, and now we've got these weekend lineups on Touch Central, right? So there's even more people coming here and shitting and pissing, and so it's just taking strain. Like, the system is not built.
So, you know, if we had
someone told me the other day, just sorry to interrupt you, Ben. Someone said to me the other day, the CBD area of Sandton, you know, like where Sandton City is and those surrounding blocks.
Yeah.
Apparently, they have major, major problems with the amount of. They don't have enough pipes under the ground for all the shit and everything. And the road infrastructure is obviously too kind of narrow so that you can't fit enough cars into the CBD anymore. Parking's obviously an issue. Water supply, electricity supply, the whole place is just... It was built when they started Sandton. It was a... There were farms around it. It wasn't always urban.
Yeah, basic residential on top of that. A little bit of commercial.
Correct. And now you've got these huge skyscrapers full of apartments. And all of those bathrooms lead down into the...
Well, just think, like, a lot of people take like an hour and a half to get to work because they live on the east side, right?
Yeah.
And when they get to work, they are going to damage that toilet, damage it. Now you've got these 30-story buildings going up. I mean, that is about 200 vindictive assholes coming into a firing zone. And then poor Sandton CBD is going, argh! Look at this. You go around there, and every crane you look at, you go, well, there's another 100 shits on a Monday.
Yeah,
it's. I don't know if that's the exact equation. I'm not an actuarial scientist, but
no, it's definitely this.
I mean, you're so real. It's a lot of strain,
huge strain. So anyway, we won't go down that path. I have such an interesting clip to play for you. I was on the internet last night. Someone sent me a link to this dude. What's his name? Simon Sinek. He's like a. Maybe we should just start it now. We've got a couple of minutes. Do you want to do this now?
Okay.
Basically, he was talking about people under the age of 35 in the workplace today. So just listen. I found this really interesting because he's clearly done a lot of research around it. And while it's funny in places, it's also right on the money. So take a listen to this. You know, because a lot of people, and I say people under 35 because... It doesn't just apply to what we would call millennials, but there are a lot of people that I have worked with and who I know who are feeling like really dissatisfied about life, you know? Mm. They're just, it's not hitting the mark that they want it to hit. Do you know what I mean? Like, people are just...
They want more. They're sitting there thinking, right. Is this all there is to
Correct.
It?
And it's not their fault necessarily, and I've struggled with, like, whose fault is it? You know, how do we figure this out? Listen to this quickly. This is amazing.
What's the millennial question? Apparently, millennials as a generation, which is a group of people who were born approximately 1984 and after, are tough to manage. And they're accused of being entitled and narcissistic and self-interested, unfocused. Lazy, but entitled is the big one, and because they confound leadership so much, what's happening is leaders are asking the millennials, "What do you want?" And millennials are saying, "We want to work in a place with purpose. Love that. We want to make an impact. You know, whatever that means. We want free food and beanbags." And so. Somebody articulates some sort of purpose, there's lots of free food and there's bean bags, and yet for some reason, they're still not happy. And that's because they're missing, there's a missing piece. What I've learned is that I can break it down into four pieces, right? There are four things, four characteristics. One is parenting, the other one is technology, the third is impatience, and the fourth is environment.
All right, so you got that so far?
Entitlement.
Is this making... Yeah, but is it making sense to you so far?
Well, yeah.
All right, so listen to this, because I think that this might strike a chord with a lot of people, particularly if you are... If you're working in a place now where you just don't feel like you're making impact, where you don't feel like, you know, the world is changing around you, and you're an agent of that change. You're just a... you're kind of a victim of circumstance sometimes. Plus, listen to the four things he breaks it down into, because this, I think, will give you even more clarity. You ready?
The generation that we call the millennials, too many of them grew up subject to, not my words, failed parenting strategies, you know, where, for example, they were told that they were special all the time. They were told that they could have anything they want in life just because they want it, right? They were told, some of them got into honors classes not because they deserved it, but because their parents complained. And some of them got A's not because they earned them, but because the teachers didn't want to deal with the parents. Some kids got participation medals. You got a medal for coming in last, right? Which the science we know is pretty clear, which is it devalues the medal and the reward for those who actually work hard. And it actually makes the person who comes in last feel embarrassed because they know they didn't deserve it. So it actually makes them feel worse, right? So you take this group of people and they graduate school and they get a job and they're thrust into the real world. And in an instant, they find out they're not special. Their moms can't get them a promotion, that you get nothing for coming in last. And by the way, you can't just have it because you want it. Right? And in an instant, their entire self-image is shattered.
Isn't that hardcore? I mean, that's so pretty... That's very cutting. It's not at all delicate or sensitive. Failed parenting strategies. Huh?
I mean, try tell that to any parent, and but, we'll see how that works.
Yeah, but they are. Yeah, they're shitty parents, a lot of them.
But let's take it back a generation prior to that. Was that because kids grew up so tough that parents are overcompensating? Was the generation prior to this what actually caused all this?
No. No, these are the things they've seen on TV. People who've had kids in the last 20 years have got their tips from Dr. Phil and Oprah and those kind of people who are telling you you've got to listen to your kids, you've got to tell them they're special. You know, that whole thing of Oprah was something that always used to bother me on Idols, because people would pitch up and they'd go, I'm fantastic. And you'd say, no, you're not. And then they'd go, oh, you're mean. You'd say, no, I'm not mean. I'm here to give you honest feedback. Your parents clearly didn't, because they were always telling them how special they were. But isn't this fascinating? This guy's got some points.
And as always, the best points are made in a very short space of time.
Yeah, I'm not even going to play you the rest, but he goes into it. Simon Sinek, S-I-N-E-K.
But who is he? Because, you know, these days also, you can't just talk without having credentials. I mean, is he a psychologist? Is he a...
I'll tell you all about him, because he's well-renowned, and he's taken very seriously in a lot of places. He's written books called Start With Why and Leaders Eat Last. He's based in New York. And he talks a lot about company culture. And the guy's got 260,000 followers on Twitter. And he's originally from Canada. He helps organizations turn themselves around if things are not working. So in this case, he was talking about employees. But a lot of the time, he talks about a bunch of other stuff too. I'm going to follow this dude because he sounds so smart. All right. So from the weekend, a couple of things I wanted to talk about. First of all, I don't know if you saw the Sunday Times yesterday. It gave me a shitty little apology. I mean, it was like they could barely be asked to give me the space, but there it is. They apologized for completely screwing up that story about Idols, which a part of me wants to carry on fighting with them, and a part of me is like, all right, I'm totally over this.
So you're undecided?
I think I'm just going to move on. You know, it reaches a point where it's not even about damage to reputation or anything anymore. It just becomes like an ego trip. So I'm out of it. I'm done. Finished.
So where were all the people who were calling you everything from a rapist to...
Don't know. Let's listen. Let's everybody shh for a while. Let's see if we can hear them. No. Tumbleweeds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Those people who were very quick to climb on last week and call me all these things, they're all dead quiet today. Not a peep. Not one of them has said sorry. Not one of them has said I was wrong. They were all in such a hurry to climb on board and pile on. And it's fine. I'm big and strong and they're not. And that's why I handled it. And that's why I'm still here this week and life is good for me and their lives are still shitty. And that's how it will always continue. And they don't understand why it happens to them. But I'm explaining to you now. Part of the reason your life is shitty is because you're full of negativity. And you're an angry person. You're resentful of everyone who's done anything with their life. And that's why you get on Twitter and you mouth off. But I'm not talking about everybody, because there were a lot of people who were very supportive. So obviously it's not everyone who's broken. Not everyone was raised by these failed parenting strategies. Not everybody is desperately looking for importance and significance in the world, because they've got it. They've got real relationships. They've got meaningful things that happen to them. They're actually making that impact. For all those people who are not, you got 140 characters. Make it work, baby, because it's all you've got left. Hit it hard. Take it out on someone much, much more important than you in the world. See if it makes you feel better. Wait, oh, it didn't? I'm so sorry. And I'm not even going to apologize for this anymore. That's the last sorry you'll hear from me for a long time. Okay, other things. Mabale made the tweet of the weekend, according to Roman. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, of course.
Mabs' tweet of the week. Pleasantries, comma, woke Twitter. Tell me, what else do you lot dick ride when there isn't a cause for you to... What else do you... Let me do that again. Pleasantries, woke Twitter. Tell me, what else do you lot dick ride when there isn't a cause for you to champion? My buddy went going in hard this weekend. What made you suddenly do that? You're just pissed off.
No, I was just in... I was feeling spicy, as they say.
Yeah.
I was looking so for spicy. A fight.
Apparently, you also told people... someone here says, Mabale had the best tweet of the year yesterday. To paraphrase her, people need to stop thinking relationship and just have sex.
Oh, yes. No, because Kat was saying that, you know, it's sad that she's at the age that she is, and she's only had like 2 or 3 relationships. So I said to her, well, you need to stop thinking about relationships and just have sex.
Very smart. You like Dr. Ruth? So you're the new sex advisor?
So, you know, last week, Kat was saying they need to get a relationship person on the Kat and Ari show. I said, why don't you just get my buddy? She'll give you the greatest possible insights and advice.
Sit with them for 5 minutes. It'll be better than any relationship expert. Please do it.
It won't be 5 minutes. It'll be 1 minute. And she'll go, okay, enough.
We'll loan just you. Have sex. We'll even give you time off this show to go and sit and prepare if you'd like it.
Oh,
and then you could go and give them the advice they're longing for.
The buddy would give the best advice. Just have sex and do it across racial barriers so we can get rid of whites and blacks.
There we go. Flax, I can feel a strain in your leg from here.
What?
No, no, I can see you're struggling with your pimp limp.
Me? No, I'm good today.
Are you sure?
It's getting better. I'm just worried about, you know, the anxiety before you know something's going to happen. I have that with the flu.
Oy.
I know it's going to happen, and trying to come up with ways to avoid it. So today I'm going to be smashing all the ginger I can find, all the honey I can eat, and all the lemon tea I can drink.
Shoo-shoo, retarded flu!
Get rid of that shoo-shoo, that retarded flu.
Yeah.
Yeah, get it out of there. Hey, who we got on the show this morning? Do you want to give people a heads up?
Oh, today should be a laugh and a half, because we've got Loyiso Gola coming in.
Yeah, we love him.
I love that guy.
He popped in the other day. He was here for something, and is that when you booked him?
No.
Oh, okay, because he came in, and then he stood in my office, and we talked for like 15 minutes, and then I said to him, what are you going to do today? And he didn't have a plan. So I want to start off, find out how that day went where he didn't have a plan. Like, he had some time to kill before his next appointment, and he didn't know what to do. No, seriously. And he explained to me he doesn't like shopping. He doesn't spend money. He said he hasn't bought any new clothes in 2 years.
Wow.
And he doesn't want any. He's not into consumerism. He says he's broken the back of consumerism. He won't be one of these consumer idiots who just goes and buys stuff. Isn't that incredible?
So who's giving him what clothes then?
No, but isn't that a big move? Like, you really have to have your shit together to not have gone out and spent money every other day. Because most of us, that's why we work, so we can go out and spend money. Not Loyiso Gola. That guy is smart. Man, he's smart. All right, so in a moment or two, we'll have the news, the traffic. What am I talking about? The news, the weather. No, weather?
No.
No, we don't do weather either.
The
okay.
news and the sport.
The news, the tidal updates. No?
Gareth, it's the news and the sport.
Oh, are you sure?
Gareth, it's 2016.
Have we left anything out?
Horoscopes.
Horoscopes. I knew it. That was what was missing. All right, starting today, everybody, horoscopes. It's going to be fun. Woo! Okay, in a moment, we'll have the news. Let me not complicate things. All right, everybody. It is Monday morning. It's 6:30. Let's get into some news, shall we? It's the news is brought to you by Colcagio Pizzeria. They are the people to talk to. Don't waste your time with anyone else when it comes to the best pizzas. Any complaints in the room?
No.
Never? No, of course. Anybody ever had one of their pastas?
Yes.
Yeah?
I had one of their bolognese the other day.
Bolognese?
Solid, yeah.
And?
Yeah, it was great.
All right. Anybody have any comments on their salads?
Superb.
Yeah. So basically, don't even think twice. When you think of any of those things, the name Colcacchio should pitch up in your head like a squatter. Just sit there and go, all right, I'm ready. Come and get some. That's what you want. It is time to check out all the headlines, and luckily for us, we don't have to pay attention. My bunny does it for us. She goes, she skims through all the news sites, even the fake news, and then she pulls out the stuff that matters, leaving the fake news behind. And here it is. The headline.
Very good.
Thank you.
President Jacob Zuma has taken issue with the role that churches are playing because in his mind, they are meddling in politics.
Who created your ass? I come in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. This is after leaders of the South African Council of Churches joined the chorus of people who have been calling for the president to step down. And so yesterday, the president was speaking to thousands at the 12 Apostles Church in Christ for an international...
Where is Christ?
What do you mean?
Well, it's the 12 Apostles Church in Christ. So where is Christ? Is it a place? I mean, I know that's the name of Jesus, but is it also a place? When they say in Christ, I mean, like, that's just a weird way to say it, right? Is that a place in Limpopo?
Isn't it the same as saying, in God we trust?
Oh,
in Christ.
I see. Sorry.
I'm assuming.
Stupid me. I thought it was geography.
Yeah, okay. I always get thrown by that too. I mean, so many sporting events begin in earnest.
And where the hell's that?
Never know where earnest is.
This was at the International Thanksgiving Day celebrations at Moses Mabhida Stadium in Durban, where the president said, "It is sad to see the church and church leaders getting mired in matters of politics instead of praying for leaders. I urge the church to pray for us as leaders, pray for our people to stop the hatred. I urge you to assist us to build a nation built on love."
People don't even read their Bible, for heaven's sakes. They go to church on Sunday and they think they're just doing God a big favor. And they put $2 in the offering plate and they think everything's just cool. Well, you're nuts, my friend. You know, this guy comes to my house. He's a Satanist from one of the Satanist churches here where they sacrifice babies and melt those babies into candles, their skin. And that's supposed to give them more demonic power. And these Satanists came to my house, 5 of them, and threatened my life. Every time I got a chance, my Bible tapes on in the car. Actually, I don't even have a car right now. My car got stolen 4 weeks ago. And the Dallas police hardly do nothing to help me. It's even hard to get my insurance money for my car. So anyway, I'm bussing it around. Don't laugh at me, you idiot. You got the nerve to laugh at me, sitting there on your couch, fat, eating your Doritos.
Jesus, talk about getting distracted. Huh? That woman couldn't even keep it together for a sermon. Now listen, this president of ours has a cheek, because when the going was good, he was flitting around from church to church and they gave him a podium and they let him talk. You remember, he was big bosom buddies with all the big pastors, all the charismatic preachers. He'd pitch up at Rhema. He'd give a speech. Everybody would love him. They'd all clap and pray. And now suddenly that they don't like him anymore, now suddenly they're bad and they mustn't meddle in politics.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. President, you can't have it both ways. Either you allow the church into politics, which I've always said I'm dead against, or they keep them separate and you don't get to visit churches when you're looking for votes. But you can't have it both ways. What else is in the news?
Yeah, well, you know what? You make a good point because, you know, during campaigning,
yeah,
all
of them.
They involve the churches.
Oh, the churches involve the politicians. The politicians involve the churches. Yeah. It's like sleeping with your sister. It's disgusting.
So it's a case of, you know, use them when you need them.
Yeah.
And then when they become a problem for you,
right, then
put
you
them
say,
in their place.
Say to them, just you stay out of politics. You're just there to pray for us leaders. How convenient. He sees the church as just another. He sees the church the same way he sees the Youth League or the ANC Women's League. They're there just to prop him up.
Mm.
This guy, what a cheek.
Okay, the saga at the SABC continues.
Uh-oh.
To such a point that Parliament is now considering asking a court order that the SABC hand over some documents that apparently the top managers at the corporation are determined not to surrender.
What is going on there? It's like a different country.
There's an acting CEO. His name is James Aguma. The committee is assessing the fitness of the SABC's board to hold office.
It isn't a board. Well, it's one guy left, Professor Maguve.
Yes, there's Professor Maguve, who is the chairperson, and then there's this guy who is the acting CEO.
But he's not even on the board.
So what Parliament want to do is they want to see records of the board discussions. They want to see the minutes of board meetings,
yeah,
at which the reappointment of Claudi Motsoeneng as head of the corporate affairs was approved.
Right.
They want paperwork related to the controversial multi-million rand multi-choice deal. And apparently, whoever is remaining at the SABC are refusing to surrender these documents. And so Parliament are now going to consider taking this court order.
Sure. Meanwhile, someone wrote a scathing article about Metro and 5FM over the weekend about what shitty stations they are and how they're just sinking into the toilet. And I have not heard a single good thing about either of those stations in 6 months. I mean, there were still some reasonably good reports a little while ago. 6 months, I have not heard one good thing. I don't even hear people talking about them most of the time. This is the first time I've spoken about them in how long?
Ages, absolutely ages.
Do you know anyone who listens to them? Poor. I mean, these used to be major cash cows. These used to bring in tons of money for the SABC. I remember on my show, we had so many commercials, we didn't even have time for a song. Now the place is falling apart. Even their best assets have become turds.
I wonder why that is, though. I mean, have people just decided...
People don't want to listen to crap. And the music policy's crap. And they've got no personalities left anymore there. And the ones that they do, they don't let them talk about anything. Because, you know, at the SABC, they're very touchy about talking about anything that's got a political angle on it. I mean, we were really there at the best time. Since then, you can't. You have to talk about banal domestic things like, oh, my tumble dryer broke. That's what you've got to talk about on an afternoon drive show. You have to talk about that stuff. People go, really, really, no, there's just nothing important going on there. Nothing. It's totally irrelevant. It's like someone has just put it in a box and left it in the dark, hoping it'll stay the same. Ugh, terrible. Poor SABC. I'm feeling sorry for them. You know, before I thought, oh, well, they kind of deserve it. Now I feel sorry for them.
I just got flashbacks of when Thibaut Tach tweeted Lerato Ganyaoch and said that he would pay her $1 million. What did he say?
He'd give her $1 million bucks.
Give her $1 million if she could prove
that
they've increased the listenership.
Yeah, and she went dead quiet, yeah, remember?
Yes.
Still not a peep.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing happening there. All right. Anything else we need to know?
Look, matric rage is all the rage at the moment.
Matrix.
But you know, apparently there's a big scam that's being run in Plettenberg Bay.
Yeah.
More than 50 matrics who planned to enjoy their celebration have been conned.
This is after they booked accommodation through a bogus company. Yeah, you see, Matrix, this is your introduction to adulthood.
Yeah, you're being ripped off. That's your first major step in growing up.
The owner of the company has allegedly fled Plettenberg Bay with their money, leaving them completely stranded. Police said that they were investigating a case of fraud after some pupils reported the matter. Reports say that up to 50 of these Matrix have lost a lot of money to this person who has now fled.
Yeah, who's this dude?
Nobody knows who he is. But now the police are investigating.
What a slime ball. Jeez. You're ripping off 18-year-olds. Wait, I hope you never sleep well at night, you son of a bitch.
Preliminary investigation indicates that the suspect is in his early 50s.
Creepy. He's a creepy old man. Yeah,
creepy right. old man taking advantage of 18-year-olds.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And he rips them off. He said, you can have this house.
Look, he set up a completely non-existent company and he promised them accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
They transferred funds to him and then he left with their money and they still had no accommodation.
Imagine how furious those parents are. Because none of these 18-year-olds got that money themselves. It's all their parents' money.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're going to Plett, you know, it's probably spoiled rich kids and now their parents have to duck up twice. The parents have been ripped off once and I have to pay again. Oh, what a disaster. Hey, Flax, do you feel FOMO for Rage?
Because
you went down last year, remember?
I don't know if it's FOMO or more of a miss that age and that stage.
Yeah,
Rage is just like a let loose.
And no responsibilities, huh?
Yeah, everything's sorted for you. I mean, the guys that organize Rage, they have transport sorted for you, all the parties, everything. It's just like you run this little town for like 2 weeks.
It's
so
very
much fun.
It's very cool. And I do understand that it's a major high for these guys and girls and they're having a good time. But you know, I was thinking about it. Now you and Liz, you have bills to pay. You have a flat you have to look after. You've got things to do, man.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle change. Like now I've even noticed that I'm not going out till holidays. Because I have to save for holidays.
Yeah.
And then I also have to save for the expenses that I didn't plan for, like a Christmas present and stuff like that.
Laptop cables that bust.
Yeah, jeez.
There's no power on his laptop.
Shame.
His cable's screwed out. You know how they fraze and then it breaks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was actually checking online. It's a common thing.
Yeah, it happens.
It happens
all the time.
To a lot of people.
And especially when you're on the move the whole time, then, you know, you've wrapping up your cable and it stretches and all that kind of thing.
Mm, so it's little things like that that unexpected, which are like the worst costs.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't plan for it and now you've got to find money for it.
That's it. Adulthood really sucks. Okay, let's get into some sport with Ben, see what's going on the playing fields. Go on, Ben, what do you got for us?
Bloody good news, Gareth. The Blitzboks, they won the first sevens tournament of the year. In Dubai, for the Dubai Sevens, they got through their group pretty comfortably, pushed really close in the last match there. They beat USA 19-17, and then got to the quarterfinals and absolutely hammered New Zealand 14-0.
Nice.
14-0 in a Sevens game. That's like 100-0 in a 15-man game. Okay, maybe not, but bear with my excitement. SA then beat Wales 36-5 in the semis, and then it was down to playing Fiji, the world's best team in the sevens. Last year they won the Olympic gold, they won the whole World Series, but well, nothing this time around for them because SA won 26-14, so they were champions, which is really, really exciting because this is one of the cuckest years of rugby ever in SA. Like the word rugby makes people like close to vomit right now in South Africa. But here we have the Sevens guys just doing... Oh, it's just... Watching these guys play, it's like they're on a different planet. They've got skill, they've got speed, they've got awareness, they've got brains. They've just got so much. And ultimately, they've got trophies too. So the Sevens circuit now goes to Cape Town, where the Blitzboks will be the defending champion. Just an exciting time to watch rugby with these guys. And you've got to ask the question, like, why are these guys so good, so dynamic, so unique, and then you get to a 15-man game? Well, it's because Sevens rugby is a completely different platform. Basically, this team is unhindered. They get to do whatever they want. They don't have to worry about unions and all that kind of stupid stuff. They've got just enough money to do what they need to do, and they really do have a hunger for this. So, you know, this whole coaching in Dalbus, it's about time SA rugby started touching on, but not corrupting, Springbok Sevens, because obviously something very good going on here. Last year, they missed a lot of opportunities, but they're a good side. In other rugby news from the weekend, the final test match for the weekend was England versus Australia. Australia led at halftime, but England, well, they're just showing that they are a bloody good side. This is what really good teams do. If they're having a bad day, they can draw the opposition in, spar with them for a little bit, but then opportunities come up in the second half, and they absolutely put them away. England winning that one 37-21 in the end. They got a late intercept try, which did inflate the win a bit. But that's 13 wins this year out of 13 games for England, which makes them completely unbeaten, of course, if you don't know your maths too well. And it also puts them at 14 wins in a row. So if they win the Six Nations now, which just starts in February, and go all the way through, then they'll beat the All Blacks' 18-game record, because they'll be sitting on 90.
Right.
So, Eddie Jones, quality coach, unhindered structures. This is what can happen.
Look at what happens.
This is what can happen, South Africa. It's possible. England could not play their way out of a paper bag in the World Cup last year. Here they are, unbeaten, 13 matches in a row in one season.
Which I know you're talking about rugby now, but your heart's really in Leopard Creek. Did you see any of that?
I fortunately didn't watch anything yesterday. Oh,
what a beautiful thing to watch. I mean, I could care less about golf, but this is such a beautiful setting.
That golf course is rather incredible. It's in the top two in the country every year. It's between that and the Lynx course at Fancourt. That is the best courses in the country. Mm-hmm. But European Tour players often say it is the best conditioned course and it's the best course they play throughout the year. And these guys play all over the world. The European Tour is a completely global tour. And yes, Gareth, as you bring it up, young Brandon Stone, he, I think it took Rory McIlroy 90 European Tour events to win twice, right? It's taken Stone in the 30s, something along there. Granted, it's been home victories in SA. But he started the year with the SA Open win, and now he's got the Alfred Daniel Championship win. And Charles Schwartzel actually capitulated towards the end. The pressure was such from young Stone that Schwartzel, he could only manage a 74 on Sunday. So he tied for fourth. He was going for his fifth title, tied for fourth, all he could do. But 22 under par. Now, when you go and play this golf course, if you are fortunate enough to do this in your lifetime, it's not an easy golf course. 22 under par for four rounds, that is just incredible. Sweltering heat. You miss the fairways there. You often go into where black mambas live. And it's tough.
Going into that's not funny.
I got chased by a snake there when I played there. Seriously.
It hunted you.
I went into the rough. Snakes normally go away from you, right? This one came towards me. The rough was quite thick and I ran like a girl.
Fair enough.
These assessors, it's a wild place.
No, it was a good decision to run.
Yeah, it really was. So that was one of the golfing tournaments from the weekend. The Australian PGA Championship was the other, and Harold Varner III, he won it. You never heard of this guy. Follow him on Twitter. He's quite entertaining. Okay. And then the Hero World Challenge. Now, Tiger Woods had the most birdies the entire week. Now, it was all about Tiger's comeback. Most birdies, but he finished third last. That's because golf's a tough game. You've got to be consistent. And the thing is with Tiger is that it's so great to see him back. And it's so great to see the Sunday red. Mm-hmm. And him making little charges here and there. But it's the consistency. And that's what's always going to sort of he's going to battle with. And again, you know, leaking shots off the tee. But it was a great comeback for Tiger. But Hideki Matsuyama, that's the guy who won it. Hideki Matsuyama has won four of his last five starts. He's only 24, and it looks like he's finally got his head around this whole global game. Such an incredible talent. He won the WGC in Shanghai recently by 7 shots. He had a 7-shot lead going into the final round of this one. Only won by 2 in the end as Henrik Stenson was chasing. But this dude is such an incredible player. So early pick, of course, this guy for one of the majors of the year. Probably not the Masters because he tends to hit a left to right ball flight. But sure, after that, this guy could be a favorite for anything. Into cricket, Australia, they played New Zealand in the Chappell Hadley tournament, trophy thing. And, well, they got off to a great start with Australia. 324 for 8. Steve Smith with 164 runs. Amazing knock there. The highest by an Australian at the SCG. New Zealand, they did bloody well in response. Guptill got 100, but then the rest of the guys just fell away. So 256 all out. Australia, 68-run winners. The next match takes place tomorrow, 5:20 in the morning, if you do like a bit of ODIs. Thursday this week, India versus England in the fourth test in Mumbai. India are 2-0 up there with 2 to go, so basically they won that. But on to the football. Another big, big weekend of football. And Chelsea, well, they're on top of the English log, and for bloody good reason. They beat Man City 3-1 away. Huge result, that one. Another big other big winners from the weekend. Spurs 5-0 over Swansea. Arsenal away 5-1 over West Ham. Leicester, they lost again. They can't do anything in this domestic league this year. They really can't. hoping they can somehow just cling on in the Champions League because, well, it's all gone in the league. They lost 2-1 to Sunderland. Bournemouth, they were 3-1 down to Liverpool after 75 minutes. They won 4-3. Incredible turnaround there. And then Man United, well, that sort of Afro tree, Fellaini came on the field, gave away a penalty. And Everton drew 1-1 with them. Another 1-1 draw, which is slightly more entertaining. Ramos scored a late equaliser for Real Madrid, so 1-1 against Barcelona. And then in the local PSL, Cape Town City, they're going from strength to strength. They beat Wits 3-2 away on Friday night. Sundowns, way too strong for Free State Stars, 4-1 there. Platinum Stars went down again this time to Polokwane City, 3-2. Polokwane City leaving that one quite late. And then Chippa United, they were 1-0 down against Kaizer Chiefs, 3-1 the winners there. And Steve Compella, well, all he could do was just deliver another brilliant post-match speech. Now, people are obviously calling for Compella to go because of just pure results, but out of pure entertainment, this guy is just solid gold. I'll try to find some clips as we get a little bit quieter now into the sport and play that for you. IS Cape Town, that's 3 in a row now. They beat Golden Arrows 1-0. Orlando Pirates, well, that was just dismal. They drew 2-2 with bottom of the log Highlands Park. And then yesterday, Baroka went down 1-0 to Maritzburg United, and Bloom Celtic, they frustrated Supersport United with a 0-0 draw. That's it for your big highlights from the weekend. More sport the next hour.
Thank you, Ben. Picture this. You're in a room full of Russell Hobbs appliances, and you've got 30 seconds to grab as many of them as possible. It's just you and your trolley against the clock. It's the Russell Hobbs Rush. You've got a chance to win over 350,000 Rand in cash and prizes. Do you want to know how?
Yes.
This is what you need to do. If you want to enter, purchase any Russell Hobbs appliance between now and the 15th of January, make a dash for it. Visit russellhobbsrush.co.za and follow Russell Hobbs on Facebook and Twitter for more information. That's RUSSELLHOBBS. Got it? Russell Hobbs. Spell it properly, otherwise you won't find them properly. You'll find the fake Chinese knockoff people. Ah, Russell Hobbs.
Or Hustle Robs.
Hustle Robs.
Also, stay away from them.
Stay away from them. It's RUSSELLHOBBS. Okay, got it? Russell Hobbs. They make some amazing stuff. Man, what person do you know who wouldn't want a kitchen kitted out in Russell Hobbs stuff? Well, you want to take part in that rush, all you need to do is enter by purchasing any Russell Hobbs appliance between now and the 15th of January. Then you're automatically entered, and who knows how well it could go for you from there. On the way, Anthea Gardner with a look at the money. All right, it is Zed with Ignite. Touch Central FM, cliffcentral.com. Anthea Gardner is here to give us a look at the markets, and I have a song from Siba, who actually, he did all of this for you, Anthea. Listen to this.
Ba-ba-da, ba-da-ba-ba. Mm-hmm. She works hard for my money, Anthea. She works hard for your money, Anthea. She works hard for her money, so we better treat her right, Anthea.
Isn't that great?
She works hard for her money.
Brilliant. It's fantastic, right?
Absolutely love it.
All right, so Siba, everybody loves your song. Nice job.
And I promise I'll keep working hard for your money.
Yeah, even though the markets are not your friend.
Oh, really not, eh? Friday was horrible. We had 67 shares close positive, 117 negative, and 172 unchanged on Friday. Market was down about 1.4%. The only shares that were up on Friday, actually, were the gold shares. So the gold index was up about 4%, and it really does feel a bit like capitulation at the moment. Kind of, it doesn't matter what the PE ratio is. Everyone is just selling the market. So really down and out at the moment. And then Exxaro was down about 6% on Friday. This is after being down, I think, almost 10% the day before. But they did a big capital raise, $325 million they raised at 87 Rand a share. And also Anglo sold 10% of Exxaro. This is the miner, diversified miner. At a 10% discount, they sold it. So, you know, all these little things that are adding kind of to the market coming off every day. Really, really nothing stock specific. And then after the market closed on Friday, I'm sure most of you know, we didn't get downgraded by Standard & Poor's, which is fantastic
Thank
news.
God. Yeah, all three didn't downgrade us, but you know it's just looming on the other side. I think we managed to stave off this execution.
I'm afraid so, because what they did do is that Standard & Poor's, even though Fitch and Moody's don't distinguish between our currencies, local and foreign, Standard & Poor's did on Friday downgrade the Rand bond, Rand-denominated bond, so local currency bond, of which 90% is 90% of bonds are Rand-denominated. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely going to have an impact. And you know, at the medium-term budget speech, the finance minister was already saying that our debt-to-GDP ratio had increased significantly, and we're now on about 54%, I think. And actually, this year has been particularly bad. It's one of the biggest net selling by foreigners year of bonds so far. So net-net, foreigners sold $8 billion worth of South African bonds this year. The one before that, the second worst, if you like, in recent times, was 2008-2009 when they sold $6 billion worth. So basically, I think foreigners are saying, we don't even care if you're downgraded or not. We don't like what's going on there. And they are getting rid. They're running for the hills, basically. And of course, the things that S&P said were the big issues. And again, I mean, how many times can I say this in 1 year? Politics was the big, was distracting from growth-enhancing reforms, is what Standard & Poor's said on Friday. So, of course, we didn't get downgraded. The Rand strengthened a bit, 13.94 to the US dollar. It was trading about 14.11 at its weakest on Friday. It did trade at 13.80 through the weekend, but I see this morning it's now 13.87 against the US dollar. So a little bit of Rand strength, not quite as much as we saw last Tuesday with the ANC NEC meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but so it's doing okay. I mean, the currency is the one thing we can take some solace from at the moment, because anywhere between 13 Rand and 14 Rand is great.
It's funny, that's a psychological 14 Rand mm-hmm. to the dollar level really works for you, because every time it's below 14, you feel okay with it somehow.
I think so.
Yeah. And then on Friday, I guess what also drove markets on Friday was the U.S. came out and said that they'd created 178,000 new jobs. Their unemployment rate is now 4.6%, which is the lowest we've seen in a very long time. So they're well on track. The only problem is that their wage
bill. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing down that unemployment. Of course, he's going to hand this to Trump, and then Trump's going to try and claim that it's his.
Well, everyone's worried about that. Everyone's so when I say everyone, one of the big bond managers in the U.S., a guy called Bill Gross, he spoke up on Friday, and he also made the markets very nervous. And he said, well, actually, I know you all think that Trump is going to be good for the U.S., but long term, I don't think so. And Bill Gross, he's been around forever. He runs the biggest fixed income or bond fund in hedge fund in the U.S. I don't know what he manages. I mean, it's in the billions. In fact, he himself is worth over $2 billion. Yeah. And this for a guy, by the way, who started out studying psychology, then did an MBA, made some of his money gambling, actually. And he says, and then did a CFA. And he says that gambling or playing the casino, as he puts it, actually taught him how to manage risk, which I think is very interesting, vaguely interesting anyway.
No, it is. I think that's probably the best training you could do. Look at Ben with his sports betting.
Yeah. He'll know how to manage risk.
And Ben, what kind of, just generally, I mean, I don't expect you to have statistically done a deep dive here, but mostly Ben is on the up, which is better than we can say for the stock market.
Yeah, over a 12-week period, yes. Over the last 3 week period, no. But then again, it's like I've forgotten my own lessons, and I went emotional thinking the Springboks can't be completely shite.
And so here's the problem with betting. When you lose, do you lose all your money?
Well, I was making this point with Gareth. When your stocks dive, you still own a stock.
Yes.
When you bet Springboks, you don't have a bet anymore.
Yeah, you're out of the race, right? And that's one of the things about the stock market, is that you have to stay in it. That's part of the game.
Well, all I want to say is that when January rolls around, because nothing's going to happen in December, right?
No. Do you remember last December?
Dead quiet.
Well?
Well, no. Please, God, let's hope nothing like that happens. Yeah.
Nenegate.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is on the stock market, generally, December's quiet.
Yes, except for the 8 days between Christmas or after Christmas, eight trading days, because apparently that's called the Santa Claus rally. So generally speaking, markets go up after Christmas, and it's people. It's a very odd phenomenon. And the fact that we're even talking about something called the Santa Claus rally.
Yeah.
It's because people reposition their books and then they start to buy for kind of their portfolio into the new year. And it's exactly people like me who go away, take this time to really think about the portfolio, see where I want to be positioned, what I think is going to happen next year, reevaluate last year, and then rebalance. I think maybe we'll have a Santa Claus rally.
Well, I hope so, because I'm tired of looking at screens that are red.
Oh, yes. I'm afraid me too.
Oh, all right. Yeah, so let's fix. Can we put in an order for that for next
year? No, not today. Today is not your day, I'm afraid. Because did you see the Italian referendum results have come through or right, started?
How in the hell does the Italian referendum affect us?
Okay. So the Italian referendum is not really about Italy exiting the Euro or Europe. What it was the Prime Minister, Matteo Renzi, who said, I want to change the constitution in Italy so that I don't have to go through two houses to get a bill passed or to make changes. And he said, you vote for me, vote yes to change the constitution. If you don't, if I lose this, I will resign. Guess what?
He lost.
Yeah. So he resigned this morning.
So more instability in Europe.
Oh, absolutely. And the concern here is not that they're changing their constitution, but that the opposition party is this comedian, Beppe Grillo, who is a very, very close second. I don't think he'll take over immediately. I think the president of Italy will ask Renzi's party to stay on, reform a new government, whatever they do politically to keep things a little bit stable. But potentially, if they do go to vote in 2017 or earlier than they were planning to vote, Beppe Grillo could actually become the new prime minister, in which case he will definitely want to get out of the EU. And that's the issue. He's a Trump supporter, our Beppe Grillo. His party, the Five Star Movement, he started in 2013, got some kind of good support, you know. And so you're going from Renzi, who's left centrist, to Beppe Grillo, who's more to the right.
Yeah, it's a pattern.
Yeah, and you know what it is. The market does not like volatility. And they've still got this bank, Banco Monte dei Paschi di Siena, which is looking to recapitalize. It's the oldest surviving
bank in the world.
That's
right.
And they still need to recapitalize. And in fact, Italy has 356 billion euros of bad loans. So quite frankly, this loss in confidence in Italy and the banking system, and if they leave the EU, who's going to support them? Everyone's worried. I think you'll see Italian bond yields spike today, which really is not going to do them any good. In fact, they've got 8 banks that are looking like they could fall over. And we all know what happened in 2008 with Lehman's. When the banking system fails, a lot of things go down.
Yeah, that's all we need.
See, but now none of those will influence the result of a football match if you bet on it. Getting back to our original point, the comparisons.
But there are other things in football.
Yeah, but you literally, there's 11 guys going against 11 guys, and like maybe the weather. There's so many variables here. Like the Italian referendum, as Gareth said, how is this going to mess our lives up?
Well, just the volatility in the market. Asia's much lower this morning. So, Ben, I heard that because South Africa economy is doing so badly this year, that's why our sports teams are unstable. Do you think there's a correlation? Should we go and check it?
To a certain degree, but I think people are just looking for excuses to try avoid the inevitable, that unskilled, terrible people are trying to do things. Look at the cricket. Look at the Sevens. Look at Mamelodi Sundowns. There's still success stories here.
Oh, okay.
Good ones.
All right. Other stuff. Just in terms of Starbucks, you had something interesting to say about.
Yes.
Oh, so that was what I was trying to remember.
Howard Schultz resigned on Friday. This is the second time he's resigned. He resigned in 1999 or 2000, and the share price went up for a little bit, but then it started collapsing, and then they called him back in, I can't remember when he came back. So not so long ago, actually. And then suddenly the share price went up 500% again. So people are now worried that because he's leaving, that the company has no direction. Personally, I don't know that he's done that much for Starbucks of late. You know, he's designed these very fancy Starbucks reserves, they're called, which is like, it's like going wine tasting. You know, like you have a reserve in wine, you now have a reserve in coffee, and you can, I don't know. I like coffee, but really, I mean, that's taking the coffee culture a bit far, I think. So we'll see. I think it's a company I did like generally because they were expanding, they were doing well to expand, but I am worried about it, that people, it's sentiment driven, and people will be selling the share, I guess, because they're worried it has no direction.
All right. Well, we'll have to keep an eye on that one. Would you buy into any coffee stocks?
Yeah, depends. So I did own some Starbucks at one stage. I don't anymore. Okay. Yeah, why not?
And
if, do you not like the idea of owning a coffee stock?
No, I don't have a problem with it at all. That's why I'm asking. It's genuine out of curiosity. I'm just curious about what maybe we should be buying while the market's so low.
So I think this week, let's be a little bit patient because let's see where things settle. Our banks should have a nice little rally on the back of not getting downgraded on Friday, but then all this turmoil with Renzi, the Italian Prime Minister, resigning. In fact, even the New Zealand Prime Minister resigned this morning. And that story, I don't actually know. I don't know why. That was a big surprise. So there's still a lot of volatility in the market, and let's wait and see where it settles and decide which ones are cheap. You know, even Sasol, where the oil price rallied from 47 to 53 last week, even Sasol's been negative since last week. So it's really sentiment driven. It's horrible at the moment.
All right. Okay, Antia, anything else?
Well, some good news. The petrol price is coming down this week.
Well, it, how much?
41 cents a litre, 38 cents a litre for diesel.
Okay, we'll take it. Thank you.
Yep.
That is some good news.
And I'll leave you with that.
All right. Very good. Leave on a high. There's Anthea Gardner. A look at your money. It is 12 minutes past 7, if you're watching the clock for some reason. Let me tell you something important. Are you ready, Mubs?
Do it.
You want something important?
Always.
All right. Let me see here. Are you single in the city?
Yes, I am.
Are you nervous about dating apps and the creeps that troll those streets?
A little bit.
Well, if you're looking to find someone special, there are a bunch of international dating apps out there, but South Africa now has its own app, specially made just for you. It's launching this month. The dating app is called One Go, as in one go for coffee, one go for a drink, flex.
One go get the app.
One go, go get that one. Want to go for a drink? It's like, it's basically if you say, you don't want to waste a single syllable. Want to go for coffee? Want to go for drink? Just smash that into a W-A-N-G-O. 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 And Wongo was his name. Oh, all right, you got it?
Yes.
So, if you want to go along, it's been created to take the stress out of online dating, features a unique gentleman's touch, a place to meet quality people. It's all about manners, respect, and safety. Dating made perfect. Download now on your app store. Wongo, W-A-N-G-O. Got it?
Yes.
Great. Cliffcentral.com.